Thank you, brother. Good morning, Crossroads. It's good to be with you. I want you to pause for a second and look up there. It says August 9th. That's my issue there, because on August 9th, we set out to conquer 43 verses. Well, this is the third Sunday, and we are going to finish it today, August 23rd. So a little typo. August 23rd. We're moving through Psalm 107. And I'm going to start us off just by capturing a little bit of the first five sections that we've talked about to bring you up to speed. As we move through today, we're going to be landing on those last 10 verses or so of the psalm, and we're excited to hear a little bit from our youth, a couple of our youth leaders who were on this trip into inner city Vancouver this last week. And then we are going to conclude by, I'm just going to touch base on some of the vision, mission, values work that we've been doing as a team, and then we'll move into some ministry time. So are you ready? Are you ready? All right, let's go. Section 1, Psalm 107 starts with, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." I got to be honest, at the end of that worship time, I just wanted to keep singing. He loves us, oh how He loves us. He loves us, oh how He loves us. Would you sing that with me right now? Would that be strange if we did that? No, let's do it. He loves us, oh how He loves us. Lord, we give thanks, for You are good. Your love goes on forever, forever and ever. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. When we come to that place of knowing Jesus, of having relationship with Jesus, we are redeemed by the work that He's done. We are made new. We're able to actually know and experience that love. That love is there for every single person in this world. When we come to that right relationship with Jesus, we are able to know it. And from that knowing, it's a call on us to take that and to go and tell the story, to live the story out. And our youth actually did that this last week. And I've heard some of the stories of them sitting at meals with people who are, sometimes the terminology is street friends, people who are living on the street, people who are in poverty. And I heard conversations where people would say things like, well, religion is the worst thing in the world. And our students would actually be able to ask questions back that would create thought, conversation, that would create a movement pointing towards Jesus. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting that our youth are doing that? That's our call. That's our role as well, church, to tell that story of what it means to be redeemed, to live in that place of redemption. Section 2. There are now come about four different pictures that the author of this psalm gives. Section 2, this image is that of a desert. And it talks about people being in a desert. Now, we're not going to go into the detail here because we've covered that in previous messages, but what we're going to touch on is what is repeated. And it says this, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Actually, that's section one. Let's jump down here to actually wandered in the desert. Then they cried out to the Lord. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Now, sometimes we go with repetition in our worship. I've heard people say, why do the songs that we sing have so much repetition? I just want some of the old songs, some of the old way that we do. Actually, in the old hymns, there's just as much repetition. Actually, in the Psalms, there's a significant amount of repetition. Why do you think that is? First of all, if it's a repetition of praise, the reason that it is because God is worthy of our repeated praise again and again and again. Amen? Now, if you don't want to say amen, that's okay. You can say I agree or yes. The other reason for that repetition is sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes we keep doing the same things over and over and over again and turning away from God and away from God and away from God. And it might just be on that fourth time of repetition, all of a sudden we go, oh, got it. There you go. Section 3 talks about a prison and darkness. Talks about chains. And says, then they cried to the Lord. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. This last week I was having a conversation with somebody who had been through the first two messages. And after last week's message, something connected for them, something God's Spirit spoke to them around this idea of crying out. See, that couple had been in a situation that it wasn't grievous per se, but it was a situation of significance. And it's not my story to share, and I don't have their permission, so I'm going to be vague. You'll forgive me that, right? They cried out to the Lord. And in the next few days, that situation that they had been struggling with over the past years all of a sudden moved into a place of near resolution. They cried out, not just, okay, God, can you just give us a hand? It was from the very depths of their being, they cried out. And God responded. Give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Section 4 talks about a sickness that people have. It talks about this rebellion. This, I'm going to do things my own way. And the people moved to this place and they cried out to the Lord. Then they cried to the Lord. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. See, here's the repetition. It's thanksgiving. And it's not just avoid thankfulness. It's not just thankfulness for the sake of thankfulness. It's thankfulness to God and who he is and what he's done. And last week we talked about the raging storm at sea. And the people were tossed by this tempest that would go up and down and up and down. And then they cried out to the Lord, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's a consistency that we see right through Scripture. It's a consistency that we see right through this psalm, that in times of need and in times of plenty, God is good. God's love is always, always for us. It's always there. It See, our role is, no matter what circumstance we're in, this is what the psalm is teaching us, to give thanks to God because He is good. When we are in a place of need, our role is to cry out to the Lord. To cry out to the Lord. Today we arrive at verse 33. And it says this, He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who lived there. Now, if we look at the earlier sections of this psalm, there's that repetition, there's that pattern of the people who are separated or lost or nodding or encountering hardship. They come to this place of crying out, and then there's this call to those people to give thanks. This is almost a step back. It's a bigger view of a situation, a bigger view of God's presence, of God's control over a situation. In 35, He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There He brought the hungry to live. And they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them and their numbers greatly increased, and He did not let their herds diminish. So we've got this pattern of things going to waste, of God restoring, and now we're at 39. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. And so back into this place of neediness. In 41, but He lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. And back into this place of being restored. Now, if you consider in your life, where would you be in that pattern of being in deep need, of being feeling like God is nowhere near you, of being afflicted? Would you be down there in that deep valley, or would you identify yourself with having this gift, these massive provisions, that everything you're doing is prospering and growing? I want you to give a pause right now, and I want you to reflect, where am I in this psalm? Where am I in this section? And you may not be at the very bottom or the very top. You may be partway out of the valley or partway from the top. Just take a moment now and consider. Okay, I want you to hold that. I want you to hold that and identify as we move through into this next portion of the message. But I also want you to know that regardless of where you're at in that journey of valley to mountain, your role, your call is to cry out to the Lord. To give thanks for who He is, because He is God, because He loves you. To recognize that no matter where you're at on that journey, His love is always there. Amen? Amen. As I was reading this psalm, it occurred to me that there's a striking similarity to the story of Job. And Job is something that is sometimes mentioned or various portions are pulled out. But I want us to allow God's Word to speak to us as a community. And so we're going to read through the first chapter and part of the second chapter. And it's going to be through the Message. It's not up on the screen. So I want you to listen to this as God's story of a man who knew Him, who praised Him, and who encountered Him. Job was a man who lived in Uz. He was honest inside and out, a man of his word who was totally devoted to God and hated evil with a passion. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was also very wealthy. 7,000 head of sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a huge staff of servants, the most influential man in all the East. So we've got this man who is blessed, who has this amazing abundance. But he's also a righteous man. And my experience is that they don't always go hand in hand together, though I have had the privilege of knowing, and even knowing really well, some people who are like this, who are blessed beyond belief with provision, but who are always giving that away and always trusting God and always seeing God. It's possible. His sons used to take turns hosting parties in their homes, always inviting their 3 sisters to join them in their merrymaking. When their parties were over, Job would get up early in the morning and sacrifice a burnt offering for each of his children, thinking maybe one of them sinned by defying God inwardly. Job made a habit of this sacrificial atonement just in case they'd sinned. So we understand that this is pre-Jesus, that the way that people would atone or cover for the sins that happened was by making sacrifices on an offering to God. And the death of that animal would then cover the sins that they had committed, and they would be okay. One day when the angels came to report to God, Satan, who was the designated accuser, came along with them. God singled out Satan and said, "What have you been up to?" Satan answered God, "Going here and there, checking things out on earth." God said to Satan, "Have you noticed my friend Job? There's no one quite like him, honest and true to his word, totally devoted to God and hating evil." And Satan retorted, "So do you think Job does all that out of the sheer goodness of his heart? Why, no one ever had it so good. You pamper him like a pet. Make sure nothing bad ever happens to him or his family or his possessions. Bless everything he does. He can't lose. But what do you think would happen if you reached down and took away everything that is his? He'd curse you right to your face. That's what." God replied, "We'll see. Go ahead, do what you want with all that is his. Just don't hurt him." Then Satan left the presence of God. Sometime later, while Job's children were having one of their parties, at the home of the oldest son, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys grazing in the field next to us when Sabians attacked. They stole the animals and killed the field hands. I'm the only one to get out alive and tell you what happened." While he was still talking, another messenger arrived and said, "Bolts of lightning struck the sheep and the shepherds and fried them, burnt them to a crisp. I'm the only one to get out alive and tell you what happened." While he was still talking, another messenger arrived and said, "Chaldeans coming from 3 directions raided the camels and massacred the camel drivers. I'm the only one to get out alive and tell you what happened." Job is sitting there as everything that he's built up, invested in strategically, is falling to ruin. Not only that, being a righteous man who knew God, you can imagine and understand that he had relationship with those leaders that he had put in place over those things. So his heart is going to be impacted and shaped by that as well. Then comes this next thing. While he was still talking, another messenger arrived and said, "Your children were having a party at the home of the oldest brother when a tornado swept in off the desert, struck the house. It collapsed on the young people and they died. I'm the only one to get out alive and tell you what happened." Job got to his feet. He ripped his robe. He shaved his head, then fell to the ground. And wait for it. And worshiped. Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I'll return to the womb of the earth. God gives, God takes. God's name ever be blessed. Not once through all this did Job sin. Not once did he blame God. Wow. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Job got this. Chapter 2, one day when the angels came to report to God, Satan also showed up. God singled out Satan, saying, "And what have you been up to?" Satan answered God, "Oh, going here and there, checking things out." Then God said to Satan, "Have you noticed my friend Job? There's no one quite like him, is there? Honest and true to his word, totally devoted to God and hating evil. He still has a firm grip on his integrity. You tried to trick me into destroying him, but it did not work." And Satan answered, "A human would do anything to save his life. But what do you think would happen if you reached down and took away his health? He'd curse you to your face. That's what." God said, "All right, go ahead. You can do what you like with him, but mind you, don't kill him." Satan left God and struck Job with terrible sores. Job was ulcers and scabs from head to foot. They itched and oozed so badly that he took a piece of broken pottery to scrape himself, then went and sat on a trash heap among the ashes. If you've ever had any skin condition, emphysema, something like that, that becomes really itchy, you understand what this scratching is like, right? There's a spot on your body that you just have to itch, to scratch, to get it out, no matter what. Imagine that from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. His wife said, "Still holding on to your precious integrity, are you? Curse God and be done with it." He told her, "You're talking like an empty-headed fool. We take the good days from God. Why not also the bad days?" Not once through all of this did Job sin. He said nothing against God. In the midst of absolutely losing everything, everything that would hold meaning to him on this earth, Job still looked to God and gave thanks. See, Job had the right perspective. Job had the eternal perspective. Job had the ability to trust that whatever was happening, God was still in control. That whether on the high part of the mountain or in the low part of the valley, God was still in control. God's love was still there. The NIV translates 121 and says this, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Now, to my knowledge, there's nobody here who is living a life the way that Job was. Nobody here has both encountered the prosperity or encountered the personal destruction that Job encountered. And so I would challenge us that alongside Psalm 107, our role is to, just as Job did, to cry out to the Lord. To seek Him and trust Him with everything that we are. And to say, may the name of the Lord be praised. May the name of the Lord be praised. I'm going to invite Mary Beth and Danielle to make your way up here. And as they're on their way up, sorry, not Mary Beth, Liz. I'm going to invite Liz and Danielle. Mary Beth is our amazing summer intern, and she's actually back in the doing some work with the children's ministry. So we're going to have her sister Liz, who is a leader this last week, and Danielle, make your way up on stage. Here's the idea of this psalm, because we're going to move into something that's connected to it, but a little bit different right now. Start from a place of thankfulness, church. Start from a place of gratitude, rooted in the presence and love of God. That thankfulness moves us into a natural posture of humility where God can work. And through all of it, cry out. Cry out to God. Verse 42 says, "The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord." Now, the loving deeds of the Lord, I'm going to give this to Danielle first, are where God shows up and God does His work. And from what I hear, that happened this last week. Would you agree?
Yes.
Awesome. Danielle, do you want to share us a couple of stories of how you see and how you saw God at work?
Yeah, for sure. So when Joel was mentioning this earlier, he said to think of two or three things that really stood out or themes from the trip that we saw this past week. And one of these that I want to share with you first is that of service. And we got to see the youth in action this week as they served wholeheartedly and with boldness and joy. With service, we saw, as we served, we learned about seeing the homeless as people who have stories that are individuals, as mothers, as brothers, as cousins, and as people's friends. The youth got to see how those stigmas and how things could be reversed and how we could look at these people, as God's creation, and be able to serve and love on them in practical ways too. We also, as we served, we also just sort of saw how we could do so with Jesus, even though we were exhausted, and serve when the jobs weren't always the most glamorous or the most fun. But I saw the youth serving with joy, knowing that it was a privilege and an honor to be there and to do so. We also, as we served, we also saw, learned about togetherness and bonding as we grew closer as a group, and learned what it meant to have each other's backs as times were rough, or as we were exhausted, or as we were tired, or seeing things that were new to us. There was an awareness that we did have each other's back, that we were together. As we were worshiping just now too, I was reminded of the fact that it is a gift to have one another, to have a church to come back to stand with Jesus with other people, and to worship the same God and to stand with others in times of difficulty and times of joy, and to be fully united. That unity comes from Jesus, and I saw this in action this week. And the unity of joining together, of being bonded with each other in good times and bad, and of sharing burdens and taking care of each other, and the realization that we are stronger when we're together. So another significant aspect, so we see service, we see bonding, we saw unity. And another significant aspect that was really clear to me was that of prayer, and that of the youth stepping out in boldness and being the ones to initiate times where we would pray, and that we would take time to pray for one another. And I'd say most of that was initiated by the youth, we need to stop what we're doing and we need to pray for this person. So that for me was, I'd say, going on to four things that really, really did stand out. And I think Liz will talk more about that theme of unity and involved with prayer.
Amazing. Thanks, Danielle. Yeah. Liz, tell us about the Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah. So,
and keep that right. Just almost. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
So after a very, very long day on Wednesday, we got back quite late and we are debriefing and worshiping. And one of our youth had mentioned to everyone that they felt something that was not from God. And so we started praying over that. And God at that moment told me to grab the guitar and start singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. And as we were singing, I think the youth were pretty serious about that, that they wanted the Holy Spirit to come and fill the atmosphere. And the bridge of that song is, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. And God knew that we were serious about that because that initiated a prayer session that lasted nearly 3 hours that night. Mm-hmm. And it was just so amazing. And the next day, the youth were still on fire about everything. And as we were serving at Salvation Army, Belkin House, and so some of the leaders, we were praying about that. And so we decided to go back and join the youth. We saw all the youth praying in a circle without, I think there was a few leaders there, but it was all initiated by the youth. And so one of the youth starts walking towards me, and I felt God say to me, you need to pray over this youth because I'm giving him authority over darkness. And at first I was like, really? And then another leader comes behind me and says exactly the same thing to that youth, which was really amazing and confirming that this is what God wanted to happen.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really was amazing.
Thanks, mm-hmm. Liz, and thanks, Danielle. And we've got a couple other leaders, Jess and Cassie, who are there, and the youth who are here. We want, just as a church, wherever you're at right now, I just want you to reach your hands out towards the youth, towards the leaders that were there, as you're comfortable. And we're just going to pray. Jesus, you started something when these people were born. And Lord, what happened this last week in ministry? What happened as they served and as they encountered you, Lord, really is a continuation of that. And so we know, Lord, that you are going to finish this work. And so we pray, Jesus, we pray your anointing. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill these people, that you would equip and empower them to do your work. And Jesus, we pray that that equipping and empowering would happen for the whole church, that we would move from this place being faithful to you and serving you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's just affirm our youth and our team that went this last week with a word of applause. Thank you. Awesome. Really amazing. God moved this past week just the way that we have been praying. And I was talking with one of the people that was on the trip, and they said God moved in a way that we didn't expect. That happens, doesn't it? That happens. Now, what I want to share with you really briefly, I'm going to invite our ministry team, if you can make your way forward, our prayer team, and Alan on guitar. I want you to prepare your hearts for some ministry time. But I want to share really briefly just a couple of things that have been happening with the vision and mission and value team. This has been a really exciting process, at times a challenging process. Who's here from our team? Suzette, Mike, RJ, anybody else here from the team? Jeff, there you are, buddy. So nod your head if you're in agreement with me. Exciting, sometimes a bit challenging, but definitely times that we're seeing and experiencing God reveal himself and show up. And we are coming to a place of some clarity. And so what's going to start happening is we're going to share bits and pieces. We have not yet arrived at it, but we're moving there. So we've got all these amazing vision statements that I'm not going to share with you, but the vision statements are the things that we look off to and go, hey, this is where we're going. It's amazing. They're so far and so big, but we can get there with God. Our mission statement is what we do and how we get there. And the mission statement that we're landing on right now are primarily around two words, and that is pursuit and encounter. The first word, pursuit, we understand that we love because God first loved us. God pursued us. And it's from that place of knowing God that we now pursue God. We pursue others. We're faithful in that. As I looked at the youth this last week, they went in pursuit of God. They went in pursuit of people. They were serving. Now, the second piece is about encounter. And encounter is when we come and we meet God and he changes us. When you first choose Jesus, you encounter him and he does a change. He changes what's going on in your life. As you move on through life, you continue to have those encounters. And we believe that pursuit and encounter are two things that go hand in hand. And we believe that they are for us, for our church. And I believe that our youth even modeled this past week. They pursued the Lord. They had a deep encounter with him. Values, these are the things that we are. This is who we are as we move along this road. The values would be we value God's presence. We value people. We value leadership development. We value passionate freedom. We value passionate worship. We value freedom. Now, the list isn't exhaustive, and it might not be complete yet, but this is something that we're praying into, and we need you to pray with us as we move forward. It's essential that we are together on the same page moving forward. It's essential that we are together doing this work. And so I want to just ask you to stand right now. I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, we'll just invite you to move into that ministry time. If you want to sit back down and have a few moments of introspection, great. If you want to move forward and take communion or have someone pray for you, that's great as well. Feel the freedom. Parents, we're going to ask if you can make your way out the back and go around just so as not to interrupt the prayer that's happening here. And the one thing, sorry, I'm going to pray here in a second. The one thing I want to challenge us to do is as we go home, wherever we are, take a moment and read through the 43 verses of Psalm 107. Allow yourself to be encountered by God. Move into that place of crying out and giving thanks. Jesus, we stand as your church. We love you. We love you, Lord. And it is our desire, our longing to see your kingdom come. It is our desire to be faithful to what you have called us. And we look to you and we say, only you, Jesus. Only you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would minister in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill this house. Fill us. Jesus, we ask that you would break chains. We ask that you would bring freedom. We ask that you would pour your healing out. And we pray all this in your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.